This is Healthy Living with the Laws. Top tips on how to optimize your health, from what you eat and drink to how you live and think, with your hosts, Ben and Sarah Law.
Welcome.
We're back.
Again, we're back.
We're back again.
We're back.
Back in town. Guess who's back? Benjamin Law.
We've been away again.
Well, we have recorded one that we haven't actually released yet. Because I don't know, why haven't we released that?
Because we're lazy.
But it's been sorted, so we should have released it. But I think we were deciding we wanted to re-record it, so maybe that's why. Anyway, that's irrelevant. We're here, and today we thought we'd do something fun. So kind of health-focused, but kind of not. Don't shove me.
Not really health-focused.
Well, it's... No, you're right. Maybe not. It's more to do with mindset, inspiration, kind of.
Not really.
Well, it is.
It's just about my life.
Yeah,
I just thought we'd give a bit about our background, starting with me.
I'm going to interview Benjamin Law.
Get to know us a bit more.
He's going to tell you anything about our dirty secrets, because I'm going to ask you dirty as loads. I want you guys to know the real Ben Law, because I feel like people don't get to see what I see. So I'm going to try
the real Ben Law.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some goss out of him so you get to see, yeah, what he's really like. Because not many people get to see that.
Not really getting to know about what I'm really like.
It's just about my questions. History. Yeah, exactly.
Where I've come from.
Your face and looks very smooth.
Thank you.
Why? What have you been doing?
Just take care of it.
Really? Okay.
Eat well.
He eats well. He uses really good skincare.
Exercise.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you're glowing, Benjamin. You're glowing.
Thank you.
So we're in Ibiza. We just got caught in a hailstorm, which was
crazy hailstorm.
It picked up Chico the flamingo and took him over the fence.
Every now and again, Ibiza goes storm crazy.
Yeah, when it rains in Ibiza, it does it properly. It's not like the UK.
It builds up and builds up for months, doesn't it? And then it goes for it.
Yeah. Yeah. In the UK, you just get that like drizzly drizzle. But in Ibiza, it's like full on. That reminds me of when I was little and we went on holiday to Greece and there was a big storm and my dad was speaking to one of the locals afterwards and he was like, last night, storm, big bang. In Mickey language of trying to speak.
Michael.
Yeah, good old Mickey. Mickey Tubbs. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Mickey. Not that he'll be listening to us, but happy birthday, Mickey. So, where do we begin? I would like you firstly, Benjamin Law, to tell
everyone. What have we been doing?
Oh, do you want to tell interviewing you, but what have we been doing? We have been, well.
We went away.
We went to.
Not that anybody cares, but.
Vegas.
It's your annual conference.
Yeah, my annual conference in Vegas.
We had the Health Optimization Summit before that.
Yes, so Benjamin Law and Love Life Supplements were exhibiting at the Health Optimization Summit, and I was one of your bitches.
Which is fun.
And whilst you were doing, so I had a really busy weekend that weekend too, because I was speaking at Wellnergy Festival, which was basically supposed to happen during lockdown. So obviously it got cancelled. So we did an online version and then the real deal happened that weekend. So it was a big wellness festival in London. Lots of fun. The weather was good, which is always good. And I spoke for 45 minutes. 45
That's
whole
a long
minutes,
time.
I know,
But you're a good talker.
I am a really good talker, as you can tell from this. Someone did come up to me at the end and said I should write a book. So I take that as a compliment.
I don't know about that. It's going to go far.
But it went well, anyway. So, and then the Health Optimization Summit was a huge success for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good.
You looked quite traumatised afterwards because you had to do a lot of peopling.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
Not really your thing.
I did it. Always takes it out of you.
It does. But then the next day we flew to Vegas. We had a week in Vegas for my annual conference with the brand that I work with, Arbonne. That was fun, wasn't it? I mean, you just were like a hermit. You didn't really see anyone or do anything.
Couldn't leave the room much. I only could go to the gym.
You went to the gym and then we went to
Vegas.
Awesome gym.
Vegas is too crazy.
We went to Fit Club, which is so cool, isn't it?
Yeah, great gyms.
Great gym. We saw Jay Cutler. I mean, if you're not into bodybuilding, you'll have no idea who Jay Cutler is, but we fanned him a little bit.
And then we went to Florida.
We went to Sarasota, which was amazing. I would love to live there, basically.
It was, yeah, I wouldn't go that far. It was nice.
I liked it a lot. It was hot.
It was lovely. Very hot.
Beautiful beaches.
Even hotter than here.
But are we going to talk about your experience in Sarasota? Or are we going to do that for another?
I went to get my ear sorted. Because I had tinnitus in my left ear from an ear infection I got back in 2021.
How did you get the ear infection?
I don't really know.
You picked your ear.
I had like a scab in my ear that I kept picking.
Yeah, that's so you do know. You're lying.
Yeah, but that's like, you only get an ear infection from picking your ear.
Well, if you keep picking it, then yeah.
But it was really bad and it perforated my eardrum and it was the most painful thing I've ever had. And since then I've had tinnitus, like ringing in my left ear. So we went to Sarasota to see Dr. John Lawrence to get a very unique treatment. Yeah. Stem cells and Lunave, like laser.
And a balloon up your nose.
That was a bonus.
Yeah, a balloon up
your nose. That wasn't from my ear, that's from my nose.
And then it was in your nose for your ear.
That was like 5 days intensive treatment. Mm. It's not...
But it takes a while, doesn't it, to know with stem cells.
It's still ringing, but it can take months and months for the stem cells to do their thing.
I feel like we need to do a whole podcast just on that. I think we talk about that every single time we do a podcast. We're like, we'll do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's very unique.
We don't really do many podcasts.
There's not a lot of treatments in the world for tinnitus.
His clinic is awesome as well. It's like being in Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I went in for a day and had some IVs.
I mean, if we do release the South Africa one, it was similar stuff to South Africa, but just in a cooler environment.
Yeah, it was really cool. And yeah, I loved Sarasota. I thought it was amazing. Beautiful place.
Yeah, it was nice.
So that's where we've been. And then we came back and then here we are.
I started prep.
Yeah, so Benjamin is doing his first bodybuilding competition.
Yeah, in October, which I think we'll talk about more on another podcast.
Yeah, that on another podcast too. And I started working with someone called Vince Pitstick, who is the owner of Nutrition Dynamic and...
Sounds like Pritstick.
Does sound like Pritstick, but isn't. Who, again, this has got to be a whole other podcast because we could talk about this for days. But he has basically helped thousands of women like me. So finally, I feel like we've found the solution to my problems over the last 3 years. And it's all down to an overactive immune system. Overactive immune disorder, basically, where the immune system goes mental. And then you can't clear out senescent cells properly. Well, you can't clear out the senescent cells, which then tips the immune system out of balance and it all goes a bit mental. So we are doing a lot of work at the moment, which is very interesting.
But hopefully we've cracked the code.
We have cracked the code because
after 3 years of shit.
Yeah, 3 years of fun and not being able to lose a single pound of weight when I've never had an issue losing weight before. And finally,
the scales have moved down
rather than up, which has been a revelation. 5 pounds, 6 pounds down, a lot more to go.
And feeling better.
Getting there. Definitely ups and downs, but it's an intense process. So I'm going to have waves. Anyway,
it's not about you.
No, it's not about me. I'm going to do another podcast about me. It's about you today, Benjamin Law. So tell us. Tell us what you were like as a child, firstly.
I'm not going to tell you what I was like as a child.
But you said start at the very beginning.
No, so I start the story.
What do you mean start the story? Well,
where did it all begin?
Where did it all begin? In your mummy's tummy? I mean, do you want to go that far?
I just, you know, the story of my life. There's a song
story
in that.
Story of my life.
So I was born.
You were born. Where were you born? Tell us where you were born.
Little Port.
You weren't born in... There's not a hospital in Little Port.
Actually, I was born in Ely.
Yeah, exactly.
Ely, Cambridgeshire.
Don't go, it's boring.
Lived in Little Port, which is down the road.
You were a little portion.
Little portion. Which is a tiny little village in the Fens, which is very weird. Fenny and weird. Not weird, but it's just a very small town.
Yeah, very small. Yeah.
Went to school, primary school, as you do.
And you had a... Tell us about the chickens and the dogs.
Bloody hell, we're going straight there to the chickens.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We had chickens, we kept chickens and ducks.
Benjamin loved the chickens, didn't you?
Yeah. I used to stroke the chickens in the coop, and the ducks. I was friendly with the ducks until they flew away.
Oh, they obviously weren't that friendly with you.
Yeah, no. But we had an amazing upbringing, childhood in a very nice house, big bungalow.
And you had two, you got a brother and a sister.
Brother Danny, sister Sarah, who's coming tomorrow to hear.
Sarah Louise Law the First.
Yep.
Basically, my sister-in-law has exactly the same name as me, which is a little bit weird. But
you've got a mum and a dad.
Oh, really? That's good to know.
Still around.
Yeah, they're still around. Okay, so childhood, all good. But what were you like as a child?
What's I like as a child? Very shy.
Not much has changed. Used to hide behind
quiet,
your mum.
Very quiet, very introvert, shy little boy.
But did you smile lots?
I think so. From the pictures.
Yeah, from the pictures I see you were quite smiley.
Yeah, I was a happy boy, I guess.
Just a shy happy boy.
Shy. I hid behind my mum and my dad.
And then tell us, so what happened after school? You went to secondary school. Tell us more about that.
The primary school in Littleport, then secondary school in Ely, City of Ely Community College.
The wonderful community college. We both went to the same college.
I was a year.
Were you 2 years above me or a year above
me? Year above you.
Year above me. But we actually
didn't know you.
No, we didn't know each other
didn't
at school.
Know you.
Didn't want to know you. Yeah, so school, what were you like at school? Were you good? Were you naughty?
Really naughty. Just, I don't know. It was quite good at classes, I guess.
What was it that we found?
Loads of sports.
National record of achievement. I mean, this is going back. If you go to school, and not many people who go to school now will be listening to this, but if you're from the 80s, you'll remember that you had a national record of achievement. That was like the teachers used to write about you and you had to write about yourself. And we found Ben's and I was absolutely crying with laughter because what did you say about yourself?
Oh, I don't know.
Brilliant. There's something about like you take great pride in making sure that you look good and that your tie is always straight and all this stuff.
Yeah, a load of bullshit basically.
Yeah, basically lied about himself.
But yeah, school was school, I guess. Mm. Met a load of friends from Ely. Who came still friends with now, a lot of them.
Anything dramatic happened at school or was it quite boring, bland?
Not really, just school, innit? Just like...
School.
School. Did loads of sports. I was really into sports. Played a lot of football.
Did you get good
rugby,
grades?
Rugby, then got into basketball.
You're a bit short for a basketballer.
Yeah, but UK basketball.
Okay.
It's fine. Yeah. Got 4 A's, 4 B's and a C.
Well done you. What did you get the A's in?
I was complete docile.
You just basically blagged it.
That's what I've been doing the rest of my life. Just blagging it. What did I get 4 A's in?
Yeah. PE. I'm going to say PE.
PE.
Art?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Can't remember the
Geography.
Other. Geography? I'm not sure of the other one.
One of the... I don't know. I can't think now. English? Maybe English. I don't know.
No way.
Yeah, it's good English.
You in the English language? I'm not sure I believe that. Anyway, then what? Sixth form? You went on to sixth form.
Sixth form at Ely.
Same
sixth
place.
Form centre.
Horrible place.
It was all right.
It was a bit skanky.
Yeah, but that's kind of when I started losing it.
I lost it.
Just wasn't into education anymore. I think I started with three A levels, one of them being art, PE, and geography. And then I dropped art, I think, because I hated it. It was just two A levels.
And that was it.
Geography and PE, which I didn't enjoy at all. Wasn't really into it.
What grades did you get?
C and a D. But I didn't really do any of the work. I wasn't really interested. I didn't go into sixth form that much.
I saw you, so you did go.
I did go because I went out with your mate.
Yeah, Ben used to go out with one of my friends from school and I remember him sitting in our little clan and he just didn't speak to anyone. I was like, wow, he's moody.
I did.
You didn't, you just sat there.
In the common room.
In the common room, yeah.
It was okay, wasn't it? It had like Ely
people.
The discos.
Oh, the Cutter Discos.
Cutter Discos.
Yeah,
the local pub.
They were classic. Good old Cutter Disco.
Just when we started getting into drinking heavily.
Yeah. Like falling down flights of stairs and stuff.
I guess I started going into drinking when I was like 15, 16.
Yeah, me too. That's not ideal really, is it?
Like going out in Ely on a Friday night.
Underage.
Just trying to get drink from anywhere. Yeah. Fake IDs. Trying to get in the pub.
Yeah.
In the Minster, the townhouse.
All of these naughtinesses.
Drinking before I went out. Like, bottle of wine before I go out. Then I'd put like double vodkas in my beers.
That tasted nice.
I had like six beers of doubles in each of them. It's just...
Wow. Did you ever go to the Ark
Mental. Yes, several times.
That was another disco. Can you call it a disco? What was it?
I guess it's a disco.
In another little local town
Hadnam.
That we lived in. A little disco.
Hadnam Disco.
Called the Arkenstall. We probably crossed paths many times without even knowing
did.
It.
Yes, we did.
So sixth form.
Sixth form, and then I got, I ended up with a C and D because I didn't really do any work at all.
Yeah.
So then I didn't really know what I wanted to do after sixth form. Didn't know whether I wanted to go to university. So I ended up not going to university straight after uni. I mean, straight after sixth form. And then working for my dad. My dad's a builder.
How long did you work for him for?
For a year. Building. Absolutely hated it.
Not
I mean, I've worked for him on and off for years, like in summer holidays and stuff, like manual labour. And then I had a kind of full year after uni, like doing it. I mean, I got super strong and fit, but that was like...
In the winter. Ooh.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's really not fun.
No,
horrible, hard. Like, yes, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And that kind of like drove me to decide that I really want to go to uni now and, you know, get some proper education. And get a proper job.
Saying that your dad didn't have a proper job.
It was a
very
job.
Successful business.
He did, but not for me. Absolutely not.
No.
That solidified that. But then I only had a C and a D, obviously. That's only 10 points or something, which is not really enough to go and start a degree anywhere because you need a minimum of 12 or 14 points back then. Don't know what it's like now. So, and also had to go to look at like lower down the food chain, so we say universities.
Mm.
So, ended up at Derby because that was actually also because it was near where Neris,
my friend's ex girlfriend,
she went to Nottingham University, which is near to Derby. And then, so that was another reason I kind of looked there. I couldn't get into a degree, so I started an HND in IT, like computer science or computer studies. Because I was kind of into computers. I've always been a bit of a
geek,
technical geek. I thought that's a good thing to pick because you can get a good job from it.
Well, you were right. But didn't you, when you first went, not like it and you went home a lot?
Yes. So that was the kind of first time I've moved away from home, really. Well, it was the first time moving away from home.
You've always been a little homeboy.
Yeah, little shy, little poor boy.
Little portion.
So the first kind of month, 6 weeks, I absolutely hated it. It's like, I didn't like the course because it was, I don't know, kind of more advanced than I've been, like I thought I knew. Like more than I did, I think. And I started speaking to people like, wow, they know a lot more than me. I started freaking out about that. And then just being there, like being away from home, just being with like loads of new people. And
for a little shy boy.
Yeah, it was just a lot to take in at once. Like, you know, loads of new people. You could obviously have to share
and a part like a
not sure I'd like that
halls of residence like five of the people, but luckily they're all really cool,
all still your friends. Lads.
Well, they're not now.
They are, aren't they?
Not really now. Oh. I don't really speak to them, but they're.
Okay. I thought they were.
Not Ash in that. You're thinking of Ash. That's, yeah, no. There's the first lot. But they were really cool, like four other lads I live with. But I nearly left in that first 4 weeks. It got close because like, oh, perhaps I can leave. Perhaps I can go and work with Dad again. And it got to that stage. But then I just stuck it out.
Thank and then, goodness you did, because where would you be now, eh?
But then literally after like 4 or 5 weeks, I started to enjoy it. Started to like enjoy, I made a load of friends, started going out. I mean,
going out a lot.
Going out a lot at uni first year is just nuts. But really started to like it, stuck with it. Just went out 5-6 nights a week, smashed.
How did you survive?
I don't know. It's just really not unhealthy. But went out probably so much that I actually failed my first year at uni.
Well done.
You do like 8 modules and I passed 5 and you have to pass 6 or something to pass the year. So yet again, I failed. So the second year, I kind of knuckled down.
How many nights a week did you go out in the second year?
Still quite a lot, but nowhere near as much. I don't know, 3, 4. Second year, I knuckled down and actually passed 10 modules in my second year. Really caught up with all the ones that failed, basically.
Well done.
So I passed the second year and did completed the stuff from the first year.
What was your diet like at uni?
Well, I didn't really know how to cook at all, obviously, because I hadn't really cooked.
Ever.
Ever.
Because your mum had cooked.
Yeah.
And made you cakes.
So I remember like first trying to make pasta. I put the like boiled the pasta and put the sauce in with the water and the pasta.
So this is like watery slop.
Watery, tomatoey, sloppy pasta thing. I didn't even know how to bake a potato.
I was probably about the same, to be fair.
But yeah, it was just lots of pasta and...
Mackerel. Tinned mackerel.
Mackerel, yeah. Tinned mackerel pasta. That was my signature dish. Pasta mackerel. Dolmio sauce.
At least you got some oily fish in
cheese,
there. I mean,
sweet corn.
Bit of veg, maybe. I don't know if you can class sweet corn as veg.
And then stir fries, but like the most basic stir fries.
A packet with some like black bean sauce.
Packet of veg, just chopped up chicken breast, cheap chicken breast.
I lived on that as a dancer.
And then some noodles, a dolmio sauce or something.
An egg noodle.
Loads of beans on toast. Loads of jacket potatoes.
So you finally learned how to cook a jacket potato
in the microwave. I learned quick.
You have to. You've got no choice, otherwise you eat cereal.
Yeah.
Probably did eat quite a bit of cereal as well, didn't you?
Loads of cereal, loads of carbs.
And when did you start getting... Oh, dear, yawned.
Stop it.
When did you start getting into fitness?
Yeah, so I played loads of football. Like, that was my sport. Like from when I was like 11, 12, like every week played in a team. Like loads and loads of football. Then got into basketball, like I said. But then I was kind of doing both basketball and football. And then I kind of started getting into weights first at like 18, maybe 16, 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
I started going to the Paradise Centre after working with Dad building. I remember going to the gym and lifting weights.
Ouch. That's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and then... Yeah, I was very good shape. Like, I could run for days and then started getting strong. But then I went to uni and it all went out the window. I did join the football team at uni, but didn't really go to the gym and lift weights until like the second year of uni, maybe. And then it was the third year. I'm just trying to think what happened. It was the first, second year, the HND. Then I did I kind of passed that and then converted it into a degree. So I had to do another year. That would be the second year of the degree, I think. This is my actual third year at uni. So then I had to like really knuckle down again. Still living with the same lads that we got together. Look, I stayed in the halls of residence in the first year. So we still stayed together again for the third year. And then did that year. And then I had to do a work placement in Tunbridge Wells. So I had a year down there with my girlfriend at the time, Nicola, who I met at uni in my first year.
How long were you with Nicola for?
Five years.
Wow.
My entire uni career.
Uni career?
Whatever you call it. Uni time. Uni time career.
Uni time.
Yeah, went down to Tunbridge Wells. Then that kind of... They worked at Fidelity Investments, doing like web stuff, did their like webs, redid their kind of internal website. But then me and Nicholas broke up when I was down there. She might move down there with me, like moved away from home.
Oh dear.
And then it all went tits up and we kind of broke up and she moved out of our flat down there into a friend's house. Yeah, it was awkward and bad.
Oh dear. Sounds quite bad.
I had a good time down there. Like, nice place. Just outside London.
Mm.
And then came back to Derby for my final year, my fifth year at uni. Fifth and final year.
Whole years.
And then, yeah, I got a flat by myself in the middle of Derby. That was a really, really tough year. Because final year at uni is just head down, tough. It's do your dissertation, like 11,000 word thing.
Sounds horrible.
Had to like build this website builder thing and yeah, loads of work. But still went out, partied.
It's not 5 days
as much as possible. Still kind of played football for a local team, like uni and then a local team. Still eating
pasta mackerel.
Yeah, a lot of high carb.
Yeah.
Lowish fat.
Yeah, that was a standard back then. So you finished uni.
Finished uni, got my 2-1 degree, which is quite shocked about.
And then what?
And then out into the big wide world.
Oh my goodness. The big wide world.
So stayed in Derby.
Derby.
Lived with Liam for a bit, my friend and his girlfriend at the time. Still his wife now. They're not broken up.
No.
And then got a job at a company called Thompson Prometric doing health and safety tests for builders.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, like mobile test centres. You had to go around the country setting up these mobile test centres.
What did that have to do with your degree?
It didn't.
Huh.
It was just Gibney, my friend, you know, Andy Gibney.
Yes.
I got a random call, like after I finished uni, saying, do you want to come and work for this company doing these testing things and pay like 20 grand, which was amazing at the time.
God, that's crazy to think about now. Yeah. 20 grand a year.
Yeah, which was like...
Holy moly.
It was like 21 grand. I was like, wow, that's good. Like straight out of uni. It said it's like, it'd be quite easy. So I said, yeah, okay. Kind of so I did that. And it has... But it was only like 3 or 4 hours a day. Only like three days a week or something. So it gave me time to look at other stuff. So then I applied for other jobs like in web development and got another job doing web development in Nottingham, a company called Senior Internet. So I lived in Derby doing this health and safety testing thing and then had this web development job as well in Nottingham that I'd do like 2 or 3 days a week on the time I wasn't doing this. Other things, I was driving from Derby to Nottingham doing this web stuff and then other days I was driving around the country doing this There's a lot.
A lot of driving.
A lot of stuff. Did that for about a year, maybe. Maybe not that long. Maybe it was. And then... Then what?
Don't know. You tell me. Then what?
Still in Derby. And then... I think the testing thing may have come to an end. But then carried on doing the internet thing in Nottingham. And then maybe, I think, did that come to an end? They wanted to, I don't know. They were offering me full time there, but the pay was really low, like 15 grand a year or something.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I can't do that. So then I applied for another web job in Newark. That's where Lucy Superfox lives.
Oh. There you go.
Random.
How random.
Yeah, a company called NSK, which manufactured ball bearings.
Wow. It's varied, isn't it? This career of yours.
It is. It was, yeah. But it was a good job. Absolutely bricked it, like, when I started, because it was a bit of a step up.
Manufacturing ball bearings?
Yeah. You don't... Ball bearings are like massive machinery ball bearings, not like little...
ones.
So they had to drive from... Still live in Derby, so drive from Derby to Newark to do this web job at like an industrial estate, like properly... Like the office, you know, like grey.
Yeah.
Really old school.
How long was the commute?
About an hour and 15.
Wow.
So I had to get up at 6:15, leave at 6:15 maybe, or 6:30. Do a horrible commute to this.
Takes you longer
state.
Than that to have a shower every day, so I'm surprised you managed it.
Yeah, so drove there to this industrial estate, did this job, but it was just actually a really good job. And I learnt loads, and it was really good for my career, and I did some good work there. But then I was still living with like a lady uni lot who was still going out and getting smashed, and I was trying to work all these hours. I was just shattered, basically. I'd get back, but that's when I started going to the gym again and lifting weights. So I'd go to Virgin Active after work at like 6:00 or 6:30. I'd drive back from Newark, go straight to the gym. I remember like parking in the car park for the gym and actually falling asleep in the car park before I'd go in the gym because I was that tired. But I still made myself go into the gym, do a session, but I was quite cardio focused actually still. I'd just go and run or something, or go in the rower.
Didn't you freak out?
Yeah, that was it. Like my final year at uni, I got into bodybuilding like big time again with my friend Liam, and would go like 5 days a week this local gym, like a bro split, do like back and buys, try, and then next one would be
chest and tries,
and then back, and then shoulders, and then another one would be abs. But we're like, you know, we're really going for it.
Did you ever do legs?
I think, yeah, not much.
Typical.
Skip leg day. But we, you know, I was like 20s, like, could build muscle so easy.
Mm. Newbie gains.
So we did that for like 6 or 12 months. I remember like going back home first.
To little old Ely.
Summer or something, or I don't know, or anyway, went back, and you know, you're like, you look in the mirrors that you used to looking yourself in,
yeah,
like my parents' mirrors in the bathroom. I remember like looking at myself for the first time in ages after doing all these workouts, thinking, wow, I look really bulky and weird or something. Like my arms are like huge, but like always felt like out of proportion. It was like, I didn't like it. It's weird. It's like, oh God, I'm too big. I'm too bulky, and kind of freaked out. And then from that point on, I stopped lifting weights.
Just imagine how big you'd be now if you'd carried on.
I don't know why I freaked out so much. But I just stopped. I was like, oh God, I've got to stop. I've got to do cardio again. So I just did cardio for like...
And you did body pump.
Yeah, I did cardio for years after that, like 4 or 5 years, and kind of lost a load of, well, most of that muscle. And did like, yeah, the things like body pump and...
I always remember when we first got together when you lived in Chiswick and you used to go and do body pump.
Mm.
That was in the days when I didn't even go to a gym.
It progressed to body pump though. I just go to the running machine before that. I just go and run for half an hour and that'd be it. Wow, and then I sort of get into body pump where it's a bit more weights and one called total body conditioning. But this is, hang on, this is later. So, what's that?
It's the wind.
So, after NSK, doing this web job, got really good experience. There's like, that was about 2 years there. And I was like, I need to move on. I need to get out of this small town. I want to go to London. I want to move to London. I want to
see the city. Yeah, the big lights. The
big city. See the, you know. I knew there was more, man.
More than Derby.
So I quit that job, moved back with the parents briefly while I applied for jobs in London. Got a few interviews in London, and it was actually the first interview I had. I got that job, and it was at Universal Music in Hammersmith.
It was the most cushy job.
And it was, yeah, it was amazing, really.
You were a contractor, weren't you? So you weren't like...
Yeah, not a full-time employee, like they're called contractors. We just
go in.
It's almost like a full-time employee, though. You just don't get the holiday pay and that, but you get paid loads more.
Yeah.
So I'd like... tripled my salary from my last job, and I moved into a shared house, but it was quite a cool,
it was a really nice place,
cool shared house in Chiswick. Was lovely.
Yeah.
And then the job was quite cushy. You lived like, no, you don't have to wear formal dress, you could wear casual dress, and the whole floor was like Aussies.
You used to go in at like 10.
Yeah, start work at 10, like 2 hours for lunch. Loads of Aussies, just, it was just, it's like, oh my God, this is like, this is the dream. Living in London, like
having fun,
having like loads of money at the time. It was like, this is,
you used to shop in Marks and Spencer's amazing. A lot. I remember your yeah. dinner was always an M&S
yeah.
meal.
So yeah, then I was like living in London, loving it, and that's when I started going, yeah, well, going to the gym again. At Virgin Active, my lunch break for like 2 hours. Probably wasn't supposed to. And then got into, yeah, the body pumps and the total body conditioning and all these classes.
Can't even imagine you in a class now.
I know, me neither. But then it kind of transitioned again to like, oh, perhaps I'll go in the weights room again. And I just started going, just doing weights again, stopped the classes, and then started really getting into the weights again, loved doing just weights.
And this was the time that we got together.
Yes.
Tell everyone about the best day of your life.
And then we got together.
We did. We became friends on Facebook.
You stalked me on Facebook. Let's get it right.
Well, maybe a little.
Yeah. What was it? I went... back one Christmas to Eli.
Yeah.
And then you messaged me on Facebook randomly.
Well, no. So basically what happened, I'll tell it because I can tell it better. We became friends on Facebook and I was living in Germany because I was dancing out there and you were living in London and I came home for Christmas to Ely and you went home to Ely for Christmas and I went out for dinner with all my old school friends. And I said to them, has anyone seen Ben? Because he's quite fit. And one of my friends was going out with Ben's best friend. So she was like, I'm going to find out if he's single. So she messaged her boyfriend to ask Ben if he was single. And Ben said, yes, I'm single. However,
no, I lied.
He wasn't single. He was lying. But we both met in the pub on Christmas Eve because everyone used to go to the same pub, didn't they? This cool pub. Well, it's not a cool pub, but it was a cool Christmas Eve because everyone would be back there.
Yeah.
But I'd had a bad stomach, so I wasn't drinking. So I didn't dare talk to you. You didn't dare talk to me. So we basically didn't talk to each other. No. And left. So when I got home, I was like, shit, this is it. So I messaged him on Facebook. And you actually read the message out at the wedding, didn't you? That I said, because that's the thing with Facebook messages. They don't go anywhere. You can still see them.
Yeah.
So then I asked you to go out for a drink. Oh, no, it was Sarah and Rich, our friends, got engaged. So I said, we'll probably go out for a drink with them to celebrate. And then I think you said, oh, I can't. I'm doing something with family. But then they had drinks the day afterwards and we were both there. And that was how it began, wasn't it?
The rest is history.
The rest is history. And then we
started seeing each other.
Yeah. Long distance.
I would go to Germany because you still live in Germany. I'd go like every other weekend. Well, not every other weekend, but...
A lot. You loved your little Bochum trips.
Loved my little Germany trips.
Yeah.
And then you moved to London.
With you and your best mate. One of your best mates. That was a bit weird, but cool. All in one.
Yeah. So after 2 years in Chiswick. 2 years? Probably 2 years in Chiswick. Then you were on the scene.
I was.
You came back to London. Then we moved in... Me, you, and my friend Smithy.
To City Road.
City Road in Old Street.
In a real boy pad. A lad pad. I didn't really get to pick it. They went to pick it. And yeah. It was a real lad pad.
Not a real lad
pad. It was a lad pad. Come on. You know
City pad.
There was one that you said I would have liked a lot more.
Yeah, maybe the first one was probably a lot better, actually, looking back in hindsight. But it was... It was fun-ish.
It was opposite a really cool pub as well.
Yeah, the Eagle.
Eagle.
But we only lived there for a year, did we?
I think so, yeah.
Or 2 years.
I can't even remember now.
God, there's a lot to tell here, isn't there? Oh, yeah. I didn't realise. You went away on tour that year to We Will Rock You when we were still living there. Hated it. I was still at Universal Music, so kind of moved away from Hammersmith. So then I had to travel like 45 minutes or an hour on the tube back to Hammersmith. The first 2 years at Universal were really good, loved it. And then the third year, I hated because I had a new boss, an absolute prick. Hope you're listening. Just hated it, and everything changed. Like a lot of the Aussies left. So I decided I didn't want to work there anymore.
You got made redundant, didn't you?
Not that one. I didn't think of that one. I was like, it's time for a change. But I didn't really know if I wanted to do another contracting job in IT.
You wanted to become a DJ. This was when the DJing career began.
I forgot all about that. Then I started getting into DJing at Universal Music. I started getting into techno, and I mean, I spent most of my time at work listening to techno tracks on Beatport.
Not actually work.
And talking to my mate Don, about DJing and techno, and then started doing a few gigs in London. Like, loved it, really got into it, like, massively. Started recording mixes and putting them out on the internet on my own website. And
you can still find him on the internet. What is your site? Where would people find you?
The actual DJBenLaw.com I took down. I wish I'd have kept it up.
Why did you take it down?
Huh?
Why did you do that?
I don't really know. It was a different server that I had to get rid of. So yeah, it started really I haven't even talked about my clubbing.
You were a life. Big clubber.
I was big into clubbing. Like, loved it. Clubbing. When I first went to Ibiza when I was 18.
So basically what you're learning from this is Benjamin Law is a big party animal.
I was. Massively, yeah. Like, go clubbing every weekend. To go clubbing every weekend. Did all sorts of naughty things.
Friday to Monday.
Yeah. Friday to Monday, and just feel like death on a Monday. And then by Wednesday I'd feel kind of all right again. And start all again on a Friday. And that kind of carried on. Into London. Obviously, I had like loads of clubs in London, but then got into DJing.
And then you met me and I was boring.
Yeah, you were really, really into it, but that was quite nice to have someone calm.
I mean, if it had been 80s music, it would have been a different story. but techno was not my thing.
So, yeah, at that point, I was still drinking loads, taking drugs.
My God. I drank a lot as well. We drank a lot.
We drank loads. At 20. Jeez. I'd drink it. This was like drinking at home on, just on a Friday night. I'd have like 6 or 7 beers just sat in the house and stay up until 2 a.m. just watching.
Just because.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Yeah.
So, where are we? Then I kind of...
In that period, what did so you we're do for money?
And? Dream. Worked.
No, you'd finished working. You weren't working at Universal anymore.
Yeah, so then ended the job at Universal, still living in City Road, and then I was like, oh, perhaps I can become a DJ, which is ridiculous to like, try and make money as a DJ. And then kind of got into... the stock market. So that was the plan then. I was going to be a trader and a DJ.
Yeah. Trader by day, DJ by night.
So I really got into the kind of trading stock market stuff for a while. Actually made a little bit of money. Thought, wow, I can do this. And then like lost a load of money. And I was like, oh no, I can't do this. And then... yeah, the DJing is like really hard to make any kind of money unless you really, really go for it and hustle and network and blah, 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 blah.
Mr. Network over here.
So like 6 months of trying that, or maybe even a bit longer, I was like, shit, I've got no money. I need to get another contracting job. But because I'd been out of work for quite a while, it was really, really hard.
What happened? Tell everyone about the mobile phone thing.
Oh, yeah. That's
one of your other ideas.
Other ventures was like to try and buy mobile phones cheap from China or somewhere in America and sell them.
Bought some. How many phones did you buy?
Loads, like hundreds of what I thought I did. Hundreds of phones. Like paid like £3,000 maybe.
For nothing.
Yeah. They never turned up. It was just a complete scam.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the stock market thing didn't really work. And then the DJ thing couldn't really make money. So then I had to apply for more jobs. Well, that was really hard, though. That was like a very low point because I...
didn't want to.
Didn't want to. And I couldn't actually get a job for like months. Like, God, good 3 or 4 months of applying and interviewing... and not getting anything. I was like, shit, I've got this place in London. I was having to start borrowing money off mum and dad again, which is never fun.
No.
And it was a very low point. I was like, what am I going to do? I can't actually get a job. And then I had an interview at Barclays Capital in Canary Wharf that went really, really well. And that's a really massive job. But then I still didn't hear anything for like 3 or 4 weeks, maybe. Oh, damn it. Like, I thought that was the one. And then randomly got a phone call from the agent. I remember I was on the loo.
Standard.
Like one morning, the phone rang. It's like, oh, yeah. Bar cap for short. I want to offer you the job. And he's like, it's 450 a day. All right. I was like,
yes.
Yeah, that'll do, yeah. So all of a sudden, I got this job of like paying a lot of money in Canary Wharf.
Well, you had to wear a suit and everything.
It's a proper job. I had to wear a suit working at Canary Wharf, getting like rammed on a tube every morning. But it paid really well, so did it. I was actually bricking it because it's like a proper job.
A real job.
A proper job. But then I actually got in there and the people were like really nice. Yeah. And the work wasn't that scary. It was like stuff I'd kind of done before, just different stuff-ish.
We moved at that point to Wapping.
Living with my friend. We got a apartment.
Just the two of
Wapping,
us.
Which is, Wapping is quite a strange place. But
quite cool, but weird, all in one. Opposite another really good pub, though.
Yeah.
We always seem to land near the pubs. Captain Kidd.
Well, there's so many good, nice pubs in London, aren't there?
Yeah, on the Thames, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was close. It was close.
It was really close to
Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
Not super close.
It was quite close.
But the commute was much better. The pad was nearly nice, but freezing cold.
Absolutely Baltic.
Really old.
Electric heaters.
Really old place, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Grade
really two cool.
listed building
but
type.
But electric
yeah.
radiators that we didn't realise how to use properly. So when we left, we got a bill for how much?
Thousands.
Thousands of pounds. And we were like, oh my God.
So yeah, did the job at Canary Wharf. And it was like 5 months in. Didn't really like it at all. It was quite a lot of pressure, like intense. And but stuck it out. Wasn't intending to leave, but after 5 months, they got rid of like half the floor or something of contractors in one day, because that's how
crazy
cutthroat it is in that kind of industry in banking. And I was one of the people they got rid of. It was like,
damn. And that was just after we'd moved as well. And we were like, oh, and I wasn't earning a huge amount at that point either. So it was like, oh dear.
Just after we signed the contract in this expensive apartment in London.
Oh no.
I was like, oh shit. Shit, this is not good.
No.
So then I was like, fuck this. I don't want to get another contract ever again. I don't enjoy it.
What can I do?
Luckily, because the job paid so well, I'd actually saved like 20 or 30 grand, maybe. So we could kind of stick it out there for a little bit. Not for too long. But then I was like, damn it, what am I going to do? And then I started doing like how to make money online. Or even searching that. I think that was the time of the mobile phones, maybe.
Was it? Buy some mobile phones.
But like, what can I do? Then read about like affiliate marketing and like creating these websites. So I was also like into health and fitness. So I started making like health websites, like how to get six pack abs and stuff like that. So you'd actually call the website howtogetsixpackabs.com. Then you try and rank that website in Google, and then you put your affiliate links to like these digital products, like how to get six pack abs.
Who did the digital product? Where did they come from?
There's a site called Clickbank, or I think it's still going now. Or there's loads of affiliate sites.
Wow, interesting.
It's still going now. You can get like digital products. You can promote loads of stuff.
Just needs to be a good marketer.
And you get like 70% commission because it's a digital product, because it doesn't cost anything. So you make a load, quite a lot from each sale.
Mm.
So you make the website and then put links, obviously these affiliate links to these products.
Clever.
And it's quite easy-ish to rank. I was making loads of these websites. I think I made about 10 websites, different products, but got hardly any sales. I was like, oh shit, this is not working.
Life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it wasn't really bringing in much at all. But in doing this, one of the products I was promoting was Amazon Money Machine or something. Amazon, I think it was Amazon Money Machine, like how to make money on Amazon.
Mm.
So then I ended up actually doing the course myself, because I was like, oh, this is interesting. Why not try and actually just do this course that I was trying to sell? So I did it, and the guy in it was selling supplements on Amazon. And like teaching you how to sell, well, it's just teaching you how to sell on Amazon, but you so happened to be selling supplements on Amazon. I was like, there's this thing called like private labeling, where you can just buy products from a company and put your own label on and sell them on Amazon. And he was like, I was like, this is interesting. Perhaps I could actually sell supplements, like proper products. And, you know, I said, I've always
taking supplements. I was taking supplements for years prior to that. Like, I've been into health and fitness, like, since my teens, probably.
Apart from the pasta mackerel and the beans.
I mean, I wasn't eating rubbish. I wasn't eating crap.
Apart from your mum's homemade cake.
Huh?
Apart from your mum's homemade cake.
So it's like, yeah, maybe I can do this myself, this supplement thing. And then, so I started looking for suppliers, like trawling the internet for suppliers. Like, there's so many dodgy companies out there, and like, you just don't know what's good or bad. Obviously, I wanted to try and get the best possible. And then I found one that I thought was good. I think I put in an order for 100 5-HTP. But then I found another one, and then I think they were saying, like, oh, don't go with these, they're terrible. Like, this is like a complete scam. I was like, and then these, like, seemed more legit. But they only did, like, they did 250 minimum order. I was like, no, that's too many. I can't afford 250 units. So I'm going to have to go to these other guys. So 100. But then he was like, oh, no, no, I want you to, because I want you to go to them. So I've dropped my minimum order to 100. So I could order 100 with these other guys. They're called HealthSpark. They bought 100 5-HTP, put my own, design my own label, and they turned up in the Whopping. Remember the turning up?
I do remember. They were the little flat pack ones.
Little flat pack.
They could go through the letterbox.
Yeah.
We need to show people the original packaging.
Yeah.
And Love Life Supplements was born.
And that was it. And I think the name come from speaking to my mate Don.
Good old Don. We like Don.
He said, yeah, that's all right. It's a good name.
Sounds good.
Yeah. That was, I wish there was a better story for the name.
Yeah, but there isn't.
Yeah, got the back box of 100... To be sent them to the Amazon warehouse. Well, before that, I had to set up my Amazon account, which was not easy because they didn't. It was hard to set up a new supplement brand on there if you're not established. So I had to like battle with Amazon to just get it set up, which I did in the end in that category, in the health and wellness, whatever, health and beauty. Sent the products in, and then didn't sell anything for ages. Like, just looking at the sales report every day, just like 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Right, brilliant. Because I had to get reviews. I had no reviews. So I started asking all my friends to review it. I had to buy it and review, or I'd send it to them and review it. So I started getting a few reviews. And all of a sudden, started getting like sales. Like one sale a day, two sales a day, maybe three. Three sales a day. But then you still needed to get like more and more reviews. So I'd like handwrite postcards to all the customers.
I remember.
Asking them if they'd review the product. And they started reviewing the product. And back then it was a different world, like Amazon. It's like, it took like 11, 12 years ago. It's easy, a lot easier to rank at the top. So I started like getting to the top of the search results for 5-HTP after three or four months, maybe.
Wow.
So then it started selling, and then I was still using my own money from this contracting job to like bootstrap it. But that was coming to an end, I think. Even though I was getting a little bit of cash back from this 5-HTP. So I think I had to borrow a little bit from Dad, maybe.
Good old Dad.
Yeah, to launch two new products like Raspberry Ketones and African Mango.
I was going to say African Mango, maybe. I think it was.
The hot products at the time for like fat loss.
African Mango.
And then did the same process again. Well, this is probably after like 6 months, 8 months. And then they started selling. And then a bit more money started coming in. I think I probably just had about enough coming in then to add products myself. But in that time period, we moved out of London, haven't we?
Yeah, we moved to Hitchin.
Because I was like, but I didn't want to move. because I loved London so much, but I wanted to stay in London, but it was just not practical, was it?
And there was no need. We didn't need
to be there. You didn't need to be there, really. Too expensive.
And Hitchin, we could get somewhere way bigger for our money and still commute into London in 20 minutes.
Easy to commute into London.
And Hitchin
so
was
I went
wonderful.
Kicking and screaming into our detached house.
Well, I remember, what was it you said?
For half the price.
You said, I remember you wheeling in on your little wheelie chair into the kitchen one day. Because you used to have your office near the lounge, near the kitchen in Wapping, and you wheeled into the kitchen. I swear you were in your dressing gown. And you were like, I'll move to Hitchin, but only because it's got a good gym.
Yeah.
That was the criteria.
It had a really good gym.
Yeah.
Which I never actually ended up renting.
No, you never went to it. But yeah, that was...
Then
we
actually loved it, didn't we?
We loved
it. In Hitchin. Yeah. Still love it now.
Yeah, if we lived in the UK, we'd live in Hitchin. So how did love life progress from that moment?
So then we moved to Hitchin, and then just rinse and repeat, really. Like, I'd upped my postcard game to, like, get in a company. Oh, no. I worked out to, like, mass print them at home, I think. So I'd buy the postcards online, like, especially printed for me, but then print the text on the back.
And I remember you doing that, yeah.
And stamping them.
You had a franking machine.
Initially, I just put stamps on them. And then I got a franking machine. And I could churn out loads, like thousands of postcards. So every month I was sending out thousands of postcards. I don't actually know how I was just thinking how I posted them.
Don't know. Did you go to...
Did I post them myself? I think I did. But I ripped the... Which is not what we're supposed to do now. All the addresses. I had to get all the addresses. This is where my programming skills helped. I download all everyone's addresses from Amazon. This is bad. But I had to like format them using like code to like put them in a file so I could print out the envelopes. All put everyone's address on, like thousands of addresses on the envelope, but then I had to put them all in the postcards into the envelopes, stamp them, take them down to the post office, post them.
Wow.
Did that for a long time, and then I found a company who do everything, so you just send them all the addresses.
And they did it all for
they
you.
They did that.
That was a revelation.
The company in Hitchin. Yeah, it was a revelation. So I just had to send them the data, the whole thing. So, yeah, I just kept adding products.
And when did it progress to you actually formulating them rather than white labeling?
So then, it was quite early on, I think. I wanted to like start doing my own stuff, make it unique to me and better than my supplier could provide. So then started doing more custom formulas, like probably after the first couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And then we moved supplier to someone more local, who we know. Yeah, and we started doing more custom stuff, and then started, you know, really getting into making it as clean as possible.
I was going to say, when did that?
And then, yeah, it started like getting rid of all the fillers and excipients. I never really had any bulking agents, or maybe we did to begin with, but then started having battles with the suppliers to, you know, get them cleaner and cleaner.
Why was that important to you?
Because I just didn't like... I just didn't think it was necessary to have these bulking agents in there. It was like you're just filling up the capsule just to fill up a capsule.
Mm.
I didn't see the point. You might as well put something else in there or put more of what's in there in there.
Or have a smaller capsule.
Or have a smaller capsule. And I didn't want other unnecessary fillers or nastier fillers for like lubricating agents and anti-caking agents.
So tell people more about that and why they should look for things like that in their supplements.
Because they can, you know, they can have side effects, like some of these excipients are synthetic, like chemical based. We don't know for sure like what they can do in the body. So if they cannot be there, like,
and can they affect the absorption of the actual nutrients within the capsule?
Yeah, that's another thing. And you know, if you push manufacturers, often they can do it without, or you just find manufacturers that can, because they just, it's just an easy way out for them. I mean, I do get it, you know, it makes them run through the machines easier. That's what they do. They can do produce capsules quicker, but we found people who do it without.
Yeah.
And then it was the actual quality of the ingredients themselves we really started to hone in on, and trying to get the best quality raw ingredients out there, because some very low quality raw ingredients on the market, cheap. That's why people can sell products so cheap and like tested, you know, by our suppliers thoroughly to make sure they hit the active levels.
So tell us more about that with regards to like what is on a label, but actually what is in a capsule, what you discovered through testing.
Well, we haven't actually tested other people's products.
No, but what you learned through.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, there's a lot of products on the market that don't have in them what they say they have in them. That's for sure. Like, even some of the stuff, our own stuff that we've tested, because we will now third party test most stuff to make sure our manufacturer is, you know,
providing what they say.
Providing what they say. And sometimes it's not, so we will reject it. So, no, for a fact, 99% of companies are not doing that.
So it's important, peeps, to look at what you're buying when you buy supplements, isn't it? Because what you may buy may not be what you think it is.
No, I mean, there are companies that will buy, like, randomly buy products on Amazon and test them independently and find that they don't even have it, either don't have the ingredient there at all.
Wow.
Or it's at such a low level.
It's hardly detected.
Hardly detected. Like,
that's crazy.
D3, K2, like our Kappa Bioscience, provide our K2, tested hundreds of products. A lot of them didn't even have K2 in them.
That is unbelievable. Crazy.
Yeah, and it's rife.
It is. That's bonkers. So that's how you got to where you are today with Love Life Supplements.
Well, I've had some big jumps and big steps there.
Yeah, but this is going to be a really long podcast.
I know, it's already very long. So we were hitching, building the business. We were there for like 3 years.
Yes. Well,
3 years in Hitchin. I did it. That's my first home gym.
Yeah.
In the garage. Loved that home gym.
I was doing, just doing like
stupid shit in the gym, weren't I?
Yeah.
Like random. That was my like
one. Jumping random over chairs and round tables.
That's, yeah. We both started in the insanity workout then. Like high intensity.
That was the beginning of the end for me.
Yeah. High intensity beasting. And then I started buying weights and stuff again, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I'd do random, not really bodybuilding as such, but a bit of bodybuilding, and then just mixed with like just random shit. Like looking back at my videos at this, it's like,
they're hilarious.
Wow, what was I doing?
Some of the earlier Instagram videos are like, classic.
I was like watching YouTube videos and like trying to emulate like Olympic lifting, but like looking back now, like the form was so bad. There's some videos on YouTube still.
Go and check him out, Ben Law.
Like, even like my squat was like, what the hell is that? That's not a squat. Just bad. But I was enjoying myself.
You
I like.
Luckily didn't hurt yourself too much.
I'll just go and do a random workout, didn't I? Or go to the park and do sprints. That's yeah. like when I got into, that's when I started getting into, God, Mark that's Sisson's. To talk about. That's when I started getting into like
Paleo land.
Paleo and low carb and Mark Sisson, and I started when I read the Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Body, sort of really started getting me into the down the paleo route and the low carb keto.
And then you did the Primal Blueprint.
The Primal Blueprint qualification, like Mark Sisson's course. Really, that's where kind of Ben Law Primal came from, because he was the whole primal movement type stuff. So I started doing like the sprints down the park, which were killer. Started wearing the barefoot shoes, started doing...
You started the biohacking journey, really.
Yeah, like this is before biohacking was a thing. Yeah. Like way before biohacking was a
thing. You were the original biohacker.
I am the original biohacker.
Without even knowing it.
No, this it seriously was like before even like...
Before it was cool.
Keto was cool or paleo was cool or anything was cool. Like, so I started doing the Bulletproof Coffees.
Long time
the
ago.
The Wonder Shakes.
The Wonder Shakes. There's a great started, video like, of the on YouTube of the Wonder Shake.
No, it's not great.
It's hilarious. It's great if you want to laugh.
But yeah, cut out all the pastas and the bread and the grains, really, and then carbs.
All completely. Carbs for even a like long time. You were like, Mr. Hate Carbs. Carbs are the devil.
Like, lost loads of weight.
To the point where my mum thought he was ill. She was like, Penn looks very cool.
But just okay? Like, felt great, felt amazing, felt lost mainly body fat and a bit muscle. Yeah, so then really got into that movement, and then it kind of influenced the products I started producing, kind of more paleo type stuff. Did a whole primal range of products. And then we left Hitchin. For some reason, we went to Bishop Stortford.
Well, it's because we wanted a bigger house. And we kept looking in Hitchin and there was nothing coming up. So we extended the search.
We outgrown our little house in Portman Close. And wanted a bigger house. Couldn't find anything in Hitchin, really, could we? No. Thought, oh, Bishop Stortford looks all right.
Went there and then realised we didn't really like it.
Loved the house.
House was great.
Didn't really like Bish. Although, that's when I...
Began the CrossFit world.
Began the CrossFit journey and really, really got into CrossFit. Shout out to Lift Off CrossFit.
Lift Off.
Woo-hoo. And Tom McPartland and the other coaches, and like fell in love with CrossFit like beyond belief. Like,
I've never seen Benjamin Law so much in love.
Exactly.
And so social.
I know. I had like friends and...
Yeah.
And
we used to go to like Christmas parties and things for you rather than me, which is like a revelation.
I know. But we're still friends with people from Lift Off now. But yeah, really got into it for like years. So we were in Bish for what? How long? 2 years?
I think so, yeah.
Just under 2 years maybe. At the same time, we got married.
We did. In a Ibiza. And realised we wanted to live there, basically. And we were like, I don't want to live in the UK anymore.
Didn't want to live in the UK anymore. So then we got moved to Ibiza 2017.
We had a little apartment in Hitchin.
We first moved.
Well, I think we moved out and moved back to Hitchin in a little apartment in town and moved to Ibiza at the same time.
Yes, so we had a place in Hitchin, little apartment, and a place in Ibiza.
Life was good.
And we enjoyed that, didn't we? 2017, 2018. Loved it. Still carried on. Obviously, the business just ran it from there.
Yeah.
Did go through a bit of a sticky time. Kind of back and forth from Ibiza to Hitchin for like 2 years. I think the business has started to struggle a bit. And parents weren't very well. So end of 2018, we thought
would come back and move closer to my parents.
Well, your brother convinced us it was a good idea. He told us that it would be great.
Well, and yeah, but I thought it was a good idea as well.
Changed my mind quite soon, I would say.
Bought a house in Ely.
A little old granny house.
A little old granny house. Did it up. Had a pandemic.
Yeah. Decided we didn't want to live in the UK. Left.
Made an epic home gym though. That was part of the reason
yeah,
bought the house.
Yeah, the gym was awesome.
Had a double garage, which had converted into an epic home gym. Fly.
On the ceiling.
Yeah, but then we realised, well, the first year was all right because we were travelling so much, 2019. But then the pandemic struck, as everybody knows. So we're literally stuck in Ely in a little house and we didn't
enjoy it. We had a great office.
Great office. Like, we did wonders to the house, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, completely revamped it.
It looked awesome when we left.
But we just knew this is not it, did we?
Yeah.
So we had a holiday, 6-week break in Ibiza. Not planning to move there. And we thought, oh, let's have a look at some places.
Just see what's about, just for fun.
And then we found a really amazing pad. And we're like, right, that's it.
Let's move. And we moved.
You're like, moved.
And we moved.
That. The following year, that was 2020. So 21, when it was still COVID times, big time, but we managed to escape somehow.
I think we had to have a letter.
Because we were applying for residency, so that was enough to get into Spain. But we still had the house in the UK. And then...
then here we are.
Moved like 3 times since then in Ibiza. Now we're in a place we love. And then we sold our house in Ely last year.
Was it last year? Yes.
Last year. And here we are.
Here we are. And so tell everyone, like, so with Love Life now, to give people some inspiration, because people are probably listening to this and they're inspired by what you did and how you've created what you created. What does it turn over on average now?
I don't know if I can reveal that.
Why?
Huh?
Why? People want to know.
2 million.
What's the goal?
5 million.
What's the goal?
What's the goal?
World domination.
I want to grow it.
You had a goal. You had them written down for a while. You had them on your wall for a while.
Well, the goal is to create the best supplement company in the UK and then in the world. And in doing that, it will probably grow to, who knows, 100 million. I just want to keep creating like the best products I can.
Yeah.
And help the most people possible.
Absolutely. When you help lots of people, you help yourself in the long run.
Yeah.
It's about giving.
Yeah, I truly want to make the best products possible. Like the most efficacious, like the cleanest, the stuff that I want to take, like stuff I know can really help.
Yeah. And you get amazing testimonials from lots of your customers too, to show that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a very interesting journey, really, from where I came from, I guess.
From Littleport. From little boy who's shy from Littleport to the Benjamin Law you see now.
I guess I always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial streak. I've always wanted, I don't know, to do my own thing. Like, I'm not very good at working for people.
You're not very good at taking instructions.
Not very good at taking orders. Like, working for other people just didn't really work. Oh, it's a law thing. Like, we're all the same.
Very stubborn.
Like, strong-minded. People telling me what to do. And
tell me about it.
But then I guess I'm super ambitious. I just want more and more and more.
But why do you want more? Not just for the sake of having more.
No. I just want to be successful, I guess. And grow something amazing, like leave a legacy, something I can look back on and be proud of.
Tell people about the charity that you support through Love Life.
Vitamin Angels.
Yes.
We donate, 20p from every product sold to Vitamin Angels, which goes to providing life-saving vitamins to people, kids, children in third world countries, and now the UK as well.
That's amazing.
There's something like 20p can provide vitamins for a whole year.
Wow.
I don't know how they do that.
They're using those ones which haven't got it in.
No.
Wow, amazing. And that's it. Have you got anything else you'd like to share? Or do you think that's enough for today? I don't think I've heard you speak that much in your entire life.
I've not spoken that much in my entire life.
Well done, you.
Yeah. Well, I've done quite a lot, actually,
when you talk about it. I'm very proud of you and what you've created, and watching it from...
Tough times. Business-wise, there's been some really tough times. It hasn't been plain sailing.
No. And I've watched it and witnessed it, but also witnessed you not ever give up and have a very strong mindset that everything will always work out.
Yeah. I'm a very optimistic person. Never give up, never quit. It will always be all right. Have that mindset always.
And here you are because of it. So we hope that that's given you all a window into the law life.
The Ben Law life. The next time is the Sarah Law life.
That'll be fun. There's a story there. My goodness.
Is there?
Quite a few, I think. Yeah.
a cliffhanger.
My crazy brain.
Your crazy brain?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, people.
So just you wait.
Stay tuned for the next installment, Sarah Law Life.
Sarah Law, the second life.
And it's an hour and 24 minutes.
Whoa. This is the longest one This yet. Is your life.
And it's the most I've ever spoken.
He needs to go to bed because it's been a really long.
Actually, more steps.
Oh, dear. I've got to speak to my dad because it's his birthday. Okay, That's it. Thanks, guys. Great to be back. And we'll be back again maybe in 6 months. No, we will be back again in maybe 2 weeks.
Yes, we've got...
In 2 weeks, not maybe.
I'm not going to say we're going to be more consistent because we never are, but hopefully we'll be more consistent.
We are going to be. This is it now. Thanks, bye.
Bye.